In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. And Jesus breathed upon them. Breathing is necessary. Breathing is normal for our lives. So we might not have noticed anything special about today's gospel saying that Jesus breathed on the apostles. And yet this breathing gesture of Jesus is highly symbolic, of God's power to create life. The book of Genesis tells how, in the very beginning, God breathed life into the body of man which was formed from the dust of the earth. And this Hebrew word for breath, ruach, it's the same word which means spirit, or it also means wind. So, ruach is the same word used at the start of Genesis to say that the Spirit of God swept like wind over the waters to separate water from dry land. And so when the risen Jesus breathes on the apostles today, while he says, "Receive the Holy Ghost, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven," Jesus' breath at that moment reminds us of creation. That same creative power of God in Genesis, it's at work once again right here in the gospel. Jesus' breathing is a divine action. His breathing is meant to give the apostles extraordinary spiritual power and energy. And Jesus is now adding a new dimension to the priesthood, which the apostles had already received at the Last Supper. From this moment forward, these first bishops of the church were given the power and the authority to forgive sins in the name of God Himself and by God's own Holy Spirit. So when sin destroys the divine life of grace in the human soul, God causes a recreation in the soul. God recreates the life of grace through that gift of forgiveness. And he works this recreation through the apostles. God makes them his ministers, acting in his divine name for the forgiveness of sins. So Easter celebrates how this recreation in the gospel is even greater than the creation of Genesis. First of all, Jesus, he rises from the dead. And now he works this new creation through the forgiveness of sins. And he shows even more power than he once did in creating the world from nothing. Listen to that carefully. God is more powerful when he rights the wrongs of this fallen world than when he created this world before any wrong even existed. St. Augustine says that. He says that God judges it better to bring good out of evil than for evil never to have existed. These words of St. Augustine express the mystery of our God, who is so infinitely good to us. God's breath brings us the triumph of life over the evil of sin. So, dear faithful, we should be humbly grateful, so deeply grateful to experience God's breath in our lives each time we approach the sacrament of penance. That holy sacrament administered by the priests who have been ordained by the bishops, the very successors of the apostles. Because Jesus breathed on the apostles, the Catholic priesthood has been given the spiritual power to act in Jesus' name in all times and in all places. "He who hears you hears me," Jesus told his apostles. So the breath of Jesus reaches us today through his priest. And that's why in the traditional rite of baptism, the priest breathes upon the child, just as the priest breathes on the baptismal water during the liturgy of the Easter Vigil. That is why the priest must be physically present for us to receive the sacrament of penance. No telephone confessions. The physical presence of the priest acting in the person of Christ, in persona Christi, makes us sure to receive the divine breath of God in our souls. And that's what makes each confession an Easter moment. Every confession is an Easter moment. The same joy which the doubting Thomas felt when he placed his fingers into the glorified wounds of the risen Lord Jesus. That same Easter joy becomes our joy when we kneel in the confessional to confess our sins. And when we say, like Thomas, "My Lord and my God." That same Easter joy becomes ours when we believe through faith that the words of the priest confessor speaking in the name of Jesus, those words cause a spiritual recreation in our soul, like the colorful flowers. The colorful flowers of springtime grow out of the barren ground devastated by winter. So is in every confession grace blooming again in our soul. On earth, our eyes cannot visibly witness the beautiful miracle of every confession. But in heaven, we will see and we will enjoy forevermore the joy contained in that promise of the risen Christ. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. So, my friends, when you feel addicted to bad habits and weak toward good ones, when your sinful bad habits make you sad and discouraged, approach the confessional. Stir up your faith in the sacrament of penance. This means that we must pay close attention to what we are doing. It means disposing our souls to be open and honest about our faults, without putting any excuses, without putting any obstacles in the way. Only then, when we give God our full cooperation by proper preparation and thanksgiving after confession, when we truly focus on our Lord Jesus and how much pain our sins have caused him, when we really try to make a sincere and profound act of contrition, then can the divine power of the sacrament fully blossom in our souls. And after confession, to keep that breath of Jesus with us every day of the week, let us be truly grateful. Hopefully during the week, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, when you wake up in the morning, your morning prayer, hopefully you are saying thank you. Thank you to Jesus for your confession that last Sunday, or for your last confession, whenever it was. Continue to be grateful for that gift of confession, that gift of forgiveness, days later. And let us beware of environments which are toxic. Environments which are toxic with gossip, with negative talk. Let's not pollute the air by our angry words, our impatiences with the people we live with. And let's avoid air which is infectious with bad jokes, with immoral impurities. Do we purify the air of our homes by daily prayer? What kind of spiritual air do our souls breathe each day? Is our soul spiritually suffocating because we don't do any spiritual reading? Is our soul suffocating because we really don't pray the rosary together as a family or as a couple? Are the lungs of our children spiritually suffocating because of our bad example, because of our angry words, because of our negativity and our bad moods as parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and mentors and teachers? Do we read good stories? Do we listen to good music which edify us, which allow the breath of Jesus to linger on and to give joy to our souls? My friends, a holy life is a happy life. And you can never be happy in life unless you are sincerely trying to be holy. And we will always be happy inasmuch as we allow the breath of Jesus to fill every moment of our day and every place in our life. And finally, the breath of Jesus in today's gospel gives us hope. Hope for the future victory of good over evil. Hope for the final triumph of mercy over sin. St. Paul, in his letter to the Thessalonians, he says that when Antichrist being that heinous man of sin, when Antichrist will be at the climax of his evil power and wickedness on earth, the Antichrist will be defeated and annihilated by the risen Jesus and by the divine breath of his mouth. By the breath of his mouth, Christ will finally defeat the Antichrist which is to come. Evil cannot stand against the breath of the true Christ who has risen from the dead. And so, dear faithful, in joyful anticipation of this final victory of Christ, let us allow his divine breath to fill our souls through a better reception of the sacrament of penance. Pray for days afterward in thanksgiving for the gift of forgiveness. Realize how much God loves you. He loves you so very, very much that he forgives you and he gives you a fresh chance for holiness in your life. Do not procrastinate your confession. If it's been a while, simply go there and ask the priest to help you. Indeed, many times we complicate things. It's easy to make a good confession. Just ask Jesus for the divine assistance you need. And once we walk out of the confessional, there's such a joy. We feel so light-hearted because all those heavy burdens have been lifted. And then we say to ourselves, what really wasn't so bad? Why was I so nervous about going to confession? And that joy of a forgiven heart, that joy of experiencing the love of Jesus through the sacrament, gives you a peace that nothing else in this world can give. So, my friends, do not underestimate, do not take for granted the powerful gift of God's forgiveness in every confession. And just as we receive the mercy of God, let us then show to others that same mercy, passing on that mercy to others by forgiving our neighbor and by asking his or her forgiveness. Let go of the grudges from the past and forgive others just as you yourself have been forgiven by the God who loves you with a fatherly love greater than you can possibly imagine. Then the joy of this Easter season on earth will one day be ours forevermore in heaven. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. Amen. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.